بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد It is only through the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah gives us tawfiq of sitting in this masjid and discussing some talk of deen which makes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam For this we make shukr again and again And we are going through very difficult times, extremely difficult conditions. And not only this country, throughout the world. And each day becomes more and more difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness and mercy, Allah ta'ala protects us, Allah guides us, Allah makes things easy for us, for our families, for our children. And alhamdulillah, so far we have been discussing one sahabi per week. This too is great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally we just hear now and then a few sahaba. And as I mentioned, there's a galaxy of sahaba. And these are chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're shining stars. Inshallah, we will see the barakat of this. Soon we will see the barakat, the blessings, because we are talking about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The advices that was given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner in which they conducted themselves because they stayed in the close company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the advices, the teachings, they had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam day and night, and they were the best of people who could report to us about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were many people who defended the Sahaba ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them then in this world. Allah gave them very mubarak mouths. Many of them got shahadat also. One great alim who always defended the sahaba ikram against those who reviled the sahaba, who talk bad about sahaba ikram. We have many enemies who always look for faults. And they would tarnish the image of the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. They would talk bad of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. They would talk bad of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala and many other Sahaba. They would talk bad of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. To such a level that they would even name their dogs after Sahaba Ikram. Now when those things happen and the Ummah is fast asleep, then Allah Ta'ala becomes naraz. But at least by talking about Sahaba Ikram, in our heart we feel that love, closeness to them, as though they are part of us, our families, we can relate to them when we hear waqiyas about them. We feel the closeness, how close Rasulullah was to them. Every moment they would see him in the masjid, walking in the street, or in the path of Allah. So therefore they would relate to us direct information about Rasulullah, his features, his character, His loyalty, His bravery, His amanat. And then they passed it on to the tabi'een. And from there the tabi'a tabi'een right till reached us. So this great wali of Allah, great alim, who always defended the sahaba ikram. And in the process, he was attacked many times. Many times. They even shot at him several times, he was wounded. But the night before he passed away, he sees a dream, or somebody sees a dream of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she says, we are waiting for him to come now. And the next day he became shaheed. But these people, they defended the status of Sahaba Ikram. But inshallah, by talking about the Sahaba Ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the a'mal of the ummah, the angels will inform Rasulullah sallam that these people were talking about yourself and your beloved companions, how happy Rasulullah sallam will become. But the important thing is to bring these things in our lives. And many things will be repeated, you find there are salient features among sahaba. The charity, the generosity, the bravery, the taqwa, the piety, refraining from sins. These are all common features. Today, inshallah, we discuss another Sahabi by the name of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. So I'm deliberately choosing those Sahaba who we normally don't hear of so often, yet they are so great also. And of course, we'll discuss all the famous ones also. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he was married to Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her name, there's a difference amongst the historians regarding her exact name. Some say her name was Ghumaysa, some say Rumaysa, some say Sahla, and many other names have been given. But the most common one is either Ghumaysa with the Ghain or Rumaysa with the Saad. Ghumaysa and Rumaysa. She was married first, and that particular person who she was married to, he was the father of Anas radiallahu ta'ala. Anas radiallahu ta'ala is a very common sahabi, very famous sahabi. He was that youngster who served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. 10 years he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was only 10 years old when he came in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on, he was 20 years old only. So inshallah we'll discuss Anas radiallahu ta'ala in detail some other occasion. But his father was a disbeliever. His mother embraced Islam on the hands of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala because they were living in Medina Sharif. The father was then killed by some enemy of his. So she was a widow. Anas radiallahu ta'ala is an orphan, mother, and son, they're all alone. So Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he's also a disbeliever. He's there in Madinah Munawwara, and he hears of Sulaym becoming a widow. She was a very noble woman. He also, Abu Talha, was also a very noble person, noble lineage, and he had good family background. So he sent a proposal for her. He goes there, knocks on the door. Anas radiallahu anhu is present, his mother is there. They both were believers. So he said, I wish to marry you. So she says, no. I'm sorry, I cannot marry you. So now he is asking himself that why? I mean, a person of his position, his nobility, and he had firm conviction that she will never refuse him. So she says, in fact she says, فَإِنَّ مِثْلَكَ لَا يُرَدُّ. Person of your caliber can never be rejected. You're a good person. So then he asks a question, مَا الَّذِي يَمْنَعُكِ مِنِّي. Then what's the problem? What's stopping you? I'm proposing for you. Why are you saying no? When you're saying that a person of my caliber, my position, my status, I'm so well known in society, then why are you refusing my proposal? Is it al-asfar wal-abyad? Is it gold and silver? You need money? Perhaps somebody else has proposed for you, he's more richer than I am. If that's the case, then no problem. I will beat him to that. She says, no. So he says, then what is the problem? She says, well, you are a disbeliever. And therefore I cannot marry you. As she is explaining to him, she gives him an invitation to Islam then. And she says, you are worshipping that idol made of wood, which is derived from the bark of the tree. And the other part of the tree, somebody else uses to cook some food, or for other purposes and other usage. Why don't you ponder and reflect, can that be your God then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives him and opens his chest to Iman in Islam. So he says, then what should I do if I need to marry you? She said, you have to be a believer, a Muslim. So he said, I'm ready. And of course, it was not just because he wanted to marry her. Allah ta'ala genuinely opened his chest to Islam. When she explained to him She gave him an aqli dalil, a logical proof that whatever he was worshipping was false. And he had heard a bit of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala then opened his chest to Islam. And she says, I will marry you. And the mahar, the dowry, will be your Islam. I don't want a single cent from you. So Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala marries Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. Of course, he goes to Rasulullah's and he embraces Islam. He marries her, and his sadaq, the mahar, was his Islam. Now, this is a detailed explanation in fiqh regarding the mahar. But the point here is that he married her, and his mahar was his Islam. The fact that he became a believer, and she then forgoed her right of accepting a dowry as far as cash is concerned. As Anas radiallahu anhu then says that we had not heard of any other person in the history of Islam who had a better mahar than my mother, and that was the Islam of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. So Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he marries Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, and of course, she is a very pious woman. To explain her piety to us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once says, دَخَلْتُ الْجَنَّةِ. Either it was Mi'raj time, or it was a dream that he had seen, and he says, when I entered Jannah, فَسَمِعْتُ خَشْخَشَةً, I heard some footsteps, some noise, بَيْنَ يَدَيْ, in front of me. So I asked, who is it? It was then said to me, this is the footstep of Ghumaysa. There is one riwayat of Bilal radiallahu anhu, there's another one. But Ghumaysa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that was her name, Umm Sulaym. I heard her footsteps in Jannat. In other words, she was already a woman of Jannat living in this world. So Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu comes into that house already of Iman. The moment he embraced Islam and entered this environment, he began to love Islam, began to love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he would look for every opportunity to assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the Ansari, and we know the qualities of the Ansar. In fact, sometimes when nobody was around, he'd come right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu, and he would crouch before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, is there anything I can do for you? May my parents be sacrificed for you. This was the love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also participated in the Bay'at al-Aqaba, and we discussed the past few weeks, the Sahaba, before Rasulullah came to Madinah Munawwara, they went and they pledged allegiance, and this is also showing that Bay'at is masnoon. They pledged allegiance to Rasulullah, they extended their hands to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they promised that when you come to Madinah, we will assist you. And we will protect you, we will defend you. So he was also amongst those people who pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was sent to Madinah Munawwara before Rasul came to Madinah Munawwara. And he started spreading Islam in deen there. So many of the people already embraced Islam prior to Rasul coming to Madinah Munawwara. It's a very interesting incident, a very lengthy one. But he had a son from Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anas was his stepson now. So he had his own child from Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. فَمَرِضَ مَرَضًا شَدِيدًا. One day this child was very, very ill. Now in the morning, he saw his child is very sick. And of course, he was worried. But he had to go and sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he left. The entire day he was busy learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and occupied in other dini activities. He returns home in the evening. And when he comes home in the evening, he enters, makes salam, and the first question, how is my child? So Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, this was the aql she had, this was the tolerance she had. These were the sahabiyats. And then we cannot match them. No matter what musibat came to them, but when it came to fulfilling the right of the husband, or the other way, right of the wife, then they were, or right of any person, when it came to hukukul ibad, then they were shining examples for all of us. And how often we have heard That in the masjid we show our taqwa, but when we go outside, people are complaining about our character. People are complaining we are shouting and screaming. People are complaining about our dealings. People can't put two and two together that just now this man in the masjid was like a wali of Allah. And outside he's behaving like a lion. You won't find this among Sahaba Ikram. Yes, they made mistakes, they made errors, they made tawbah, istighfar, they made rudu'il Allah, Allah forgave them, Allah was happy with them. So when he enters, he asks, how's my child? She says, huwa askanu maka. He's in the most, he got more sukoon than before. He's in a more sound condition than before. He's in a more serene and more peaceful condition than before. So he thought, mashallah, my son is better. I'll see him just now. So first he was extremely hungry. Now Sahaba Ikram were genuinely hungry. They would try stones to their stomachs. And hardly anything to eat. A few dates. An entire day, nothing. So he was extremely hungry. We, the entire day, despite how many meals we have, when we come home, and the food is not ready, hungry man is an angry man, they say. So immediately, one more food, and now we're getting restless, and what happened today, and why are you late? So she had the food ready, he ate. After eating, partaking of his meals, he was a human being, he had taqaza, he had shahwat. His wife, Umm Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, fulfills his desire. Now, which woman is going to do that now? The child had already passed on. Husband does not do anything. After everything is finished, ghusl, they make everything. Now she informs her husband in such a tactful manner. She said, listen, if somebody gives you an amanat, and after some time they want to take the amanat back, have you any right to stop them? He says, definitely not. So she says, Waru Sabi, your child has passed away, go and bury him. It was Allah's amanat. Allah decided to take him away. He became angry. He said, you put me in this condition like this. You satisfied my desire and kept me like this now. I'm soiled, impure. Obviously, after that he made ghusl. But now, you didn't tell me all this before. I wouldn't have even indulged in this. Because jaiz and halal. I would have gone and buried my child. Nevertheless, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what happened? So he gave the whole explanation. And the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learnt also that she even fulfilled her husband's desire. He said, Barakallahu fi laylatikuma. May Allah give you al-barakah in that night that you spent together. This is a dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That after some time, fahamalat, she becomes pregnant. Now, few months go by, and they are traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey. And suddenly now she's experiencing labor pains. About to give birth. Excruciating pain. They on safar. Now Talha al-Ansari has got no option but to remain behind with his wife, and Rasulullah sallallahu now proceeds. As Rasulullah leaves, coming back to Madinah Munawwara, he's sitting with his wife. He turns to Allah, Ya Rabbi, O my Allah, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يُعْجِبُنِي. Oh Allah, you know very well, it makes me very happy that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا خَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أُحِبُّ وَنَأْخْرُجُ. When he comes out, I like to come out with him. وَإِذَا رَجَعَ, when he returns, I like also to return with him. The moment he makes this dua, suddenly all her pain disappears. She tells her husband, there's no pain, let us proceed. They come to Madinah Munawwara, they join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the return. They enter Madinah Munawwara, she experiences labor pains again, she gives birth. When she gives birth to this child, she tells Anas, her son, Anas, take this child. Please make sure no other lady feeds him milk. The first thing must be that he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must be taken to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala, his child is wrapped in his hands, and he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, looks like this is Ghumaysa Umm Sulaym's child. He says, yes, this is my mother's child. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam places this child on his lap. How fortunate. Then he makes a tahniq of this child. He asks for some ajwa of Madina. And obviously he makes tahniq, and then he places, rubs it on the palate. Little baby, infant. is in whatever way he was trying and sucking this whatever ajwa was on its in its palate, Rasulullah smiled and said, "Look at the Ansar, what love they had for tamar, for dates. This is genuine Ansari. Look at the love he has for the Khajur of Medina." And then Rasulullah gave him the name of Abdullah. Sambahu Abdullah. Nabi Kareem kept this child's name Abdullah. The narrator of the hadith then says that this Abdullah later on had 9 children. Kulluhum qara'u al-Qur'an. All of them had memorized the Qur'an. All of them became hafiz of the Qur'an. Now, where all this came from? The dua of Rasulullah s.a.w. May Allah give you barakat in the night you spend together. It was a halal indulgence. They got the dua of Rasulullah s.a.w. So the grandchildren all became qaris of the Qur'an or hafiz of the Qur'an. Regarding his voice in the battlefield, it is mentioned, لَصَوْتُ أَبِي طَلْحَ فِي الْجَيْشِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ رَجُلٍ. Better than 1,000 men. 1,000 men as reinforcements or soldiers. Better than all this was the voice of Abu Talha al-Ansari. In the Maidan of Jang, the battlefield, when he would shout, that it would cause so much of terror in the hearts of the enemy. The ulama and scholars write, that if this was the condition of his voice, then imagine his bravery. And they see in the Battle of Uhud, especially, the way he fought against the enemy. And we know the entire incident of Uhud, there was some misunderstanding, the archers came down for the Mali Ghanimah, there was confusion, there was chaos, Sahaba Ikram began to flee the battlefield. Just a handful of Sahaba, a handful of them, remained behind with Rasulullah, defending him. Among them was Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Also the other Talha, from Ashar Mubashara, but today we are discussing Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And he was shooting his arrows very, very precisely. He wounded many of the enemy. He killed many of them. Some say that 20 people he killed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees one sahabi running away and he's got his quiver full of arrows. He says, "Bring it here. Unthurha li Abi Talha. Bring it here. He will make good use of it." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is behind Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, who is shooting the arrows. And as he shoots, Nabi Kareem peeps over the head to see if it reached the target. Abu Talha Ansari is worried. "Ya Rasulullah, bi abika anta wa ummi, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Please, don't peep over my head. I don't want you to become wounded by any arrow. You stay behind me, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nahri duna nahrik. My jaan can go away. My life can go away. But you must not be wounded." And this is how he defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Talha al-Ansari has so many other incidents. He had a beautiful garden known as Bir Raha. If you enter Madina Munawwara, the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the side of Royal Andalus, because this, most of us know that place in Tayyiba. And when you enter, then on the left hand side, that was the garden of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, there is some indication of the well that was there also, on the marble. And that whole section was the garden of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And from all his possession and property, this was most beloved to him. Most beloved. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, many times after Asr Salat would come there, in the garden of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, just to make some aram. Ulama have mentioned that it is jais, not only jais, mabah, not only mabah, sometimes those people who are doing so much of work for deen, then they need some break, some rahat for a little while. So it's permissible to go and sit in a garden, in a well. Rasulullah would dangle his feet in the well, in the water, and he would take some comfort. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, when the verse came down, لَن تَنَارُوا الْبِرُّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will never attain piety until you spend that which you love the most. Immediately, Ya Rasulullah, this garden I give as sadaqah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then tells him, give it to the poor relatives, the close relatives of your family, or those who are closely related to you. So then he gives it as sadaqah to his close relatives. Then Nabi Kareem so mentioned to him at that time, Bakhin, Bakhin, Dhalika Malun Rabihun. Shabash, mashallah. This is very profitable wealth. You have done great. By giving this as sadaqah, Allah in lieu of this will give you great sawab and reward in the akhirat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made hajj, then he called a sahabi to shave off his hair. So first his right side, he shaved, he told that sahabi, that halaq, that distribute this hair amongst the people. Then the second part, shikuhu al-aysar, the second side of the head was shaved. Then he specifically called for Abu Talha al-Ansari. Imagine. From all the sahaba ikram, he said, Aina Abu Talha? Call Abu Talha. And then all that hair was then given to him specifically. He said, take this hair. Imagine what barakat he got. Have the hair, Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, you must have sanad to establish that genuinely it is his hair. Those who had the hair, those who have, they can smell the fragrance coming out from the hair of Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala would take a few strands and place it in his hat. And once whilst he is fighting in the battlefield, Khalid bin Walid was a leader. But now he's looking desperately. Somebody asked, what is wrong with you, Khalid? I'm looking for my topi, he's saying. Has he gone mad? Enemy is fighting us. Battle is raging. You're looking for your hat? He said, you do not know what's inside. The sha'arat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hair, Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he should don that hat, then Allah would bless them with victory. Because of the Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here he had the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Far as ibadat is concerned, of course, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had excelled. But even after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lesson for all of us. But imagine, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, sahaba ikram did not sit down lazy, did not become full of despair and said, now what's the need for doing this and doing that? After that, every single day, of course, beside the days when it was not permissible to keep roza, they say, he used to keep roza every day for 40 years. 40 years till he passed away, he would keep roza every single day. When he became very old, and then there was a jihad that was taking place, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala pondered over the ayat, infiru khifafa wa thiqalu wa jahidu bi amwalikum wa antum la akhil ayat. Even though a person does not have the ability and the means, he's weak, Then too he should strive in the path of Allah. He doesn't have enough equipment. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala told the sahaba to take him with. And they were gone a very far distant place away from Madinah Munawwara. They had to go by sea. And whilst he was on this journey, he passed away. Very far away from Madinah Munawwara. Now where are they going to bury him? So they went to a nearby island. And it was after 7 days, 7 days after he passed away. Now if we leave a body, corpse, after 1 day it will begin to smell, it will be a stenchy, foul smell coming out from there. Sahaba ikram say that Allah's qasam, the body of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu did not change any bit. Absolutely normal and fresh how it was when he passed away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him even in this dunya. And Allah Ta'ala will honor the sahaba ikram in the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring their lives in our lives, to emulate them. These little things that we see in their lives, not little, they are great. But these are things for us to implement. Whole life we can see they were shining stars. But did we seek those guidance from those shining stars? This is the question we have to take back home. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Continuing our lesson from Surah Yusuf. We had come now, we are coming closer to the pinnacle and to the climax of this entire incident, and mentioned repeatedly that this entire Surah Yusuf gives us hope in Allah, gives us courage and strength. And I just decided to, I mentioned last week that why I'm doing this, because of the number of calls and emails and people are losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person says, I made so much of dua and nothing happening, Allah rather take me away, or rather commit suicide. Oh, where is there any Allah? Ma'adallah, does Allah exist? This is reality, this is no lies. And this is not only from our area, but this is throughout the world. Different countries, people suffer different problems. And therefore Allah has shown us this beautiful story of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And we have seen so, in fact last week just after the program, a brother may be sitting here, he said, Munana, you answered so many questions that I had. And that's my distinct, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fazal and karam. Allah Ta'ala puts on the speaker's tongue things that are beneficial for himself and for many, many people. When the hearts are clean, when the hearts of the recipients are waiting, they have ikhlas, they want to get hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the vessel is full, and then you're going to pour, nothing is going to go inside. But when the hearts are empty and they're serious and they want from hidayat from Allah, no matter who the speaker is, Allah Ta'ala places that hidayat and Allah Ta'ala brings such guidance that solves all our problems. And the Quran undoubtedly has solution to all our problems. So we came to the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed where Yusuf alayhi salatu and then kept bin Yamin behind, and the brothers go to Yaqub alayhi salatu and he said, now he became blind because he began to cry, and he said, I knew that what you all are doing, you're just making a plan. And nevertheless, he continued talking about remembering Yusuf, oh my Yusuf, they said you're going to carry on like this till you become senile or you die. Now the answer he gives in the next few verses, this gives us so much of hope from all our misery and suffering. Whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a social problem, domestic problem, somebody's child is giving the parents problems. He's become a drug addict. He's not listening. He's rebellious. He's not doing his work. He doesn't want to go to school. He doesn't want to go to madrasa. He's becoming abusive, becoming vulgar. He wants to just go out with his friends, or she just wants to go out with the friends. Whole time with a cell phone. Whole time internet, porn. Their whole lives are just becoming consumed by these type of things. Oh, it's the husband and wife all the time fighting. How many of our sisters, Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali finished his life up in trying to solve and put some sense in some of those husbands and sometimes those wives also. And they just would not listen. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Sometimes we got to sit back and ponder and reflect. What are we trying to prove? What are we doing? How long are we going to just score points in this world and go with zero in the akhirat? You are hurting a human being. You're hurting an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're hurting the daughter of Adam alayhi salatu salam. You're hurting the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will you lose? You're a man, you should have courage. You must show your real strength and mettle. When you are now faced with that problem, yes, we know that they are created from a crooked rib and sometimes the wife is very abusive and whatever. But you're the man. How many of them really, they have gone from alim to alim, alim to alim, organization to organization. Allah knows best. We don't know what is the haqiqat. 100% ulama must have been trying, level best, to try and patch up. But sometimes they come to such a point, they say, there's nobody listening to us. Must we continue living a life of misery? How cruel, how harsh years have went by. They had scars on their faces. They lied to their parents and they said, no, I fell down, I got hurt, to the cupboard and things. They made up stories just to cover up for that husband who have no mercy in his heart. And this is the reality. Sometimes it's a person who's outwardly deendar. He got dari, kurta, everything. But when he comes to his wife, he behaves like an animal. He doesn't want to spend on her. She's not allowed to meet any person. Nobody can visit her. Shariat is balanced. Shariat is moderate. What does Yaqub alayhi salam say? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. This will give us solace. Each one of us, there isn't a home, there's no problem. Allah give us afiyat. Sometimes we have prosperity, happiness, then there's some problem. There's grief, not just the grief of Yaqub alayhi salatu salam. One son, then another son. Most beloved of his children, taken away. Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, years have been by, he hasn't seen his Yusuf. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I complain of my grief, my pain, my sorrow, my anguish to my Allah. This was the same dua or similar dua that Rasulullah made when he was repelled by the people of Taif. He was chased away by that mob. He was bleeding, came down, resting. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka bathi dha'fa quwwati wa qillati hilati wa hawani ala an-nas. Oh my Allah, this is what the people are doing to me. I'm complaining only to you, my Allah. So, oh my mother, oh my sister, if you are listening, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will answer your grief and your pain. Turn to your Allah. There is no better person to turn to besides Allah. As I mentioned many times before, Allah has got, is not bound by time, that today you ask for it, He must give you instantly, or tomorrow He must give it to you. No. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, years have gone, still he is not seeing the fruit of his dua. He's crying to Allah, he's not complaining to anybody else. Yes, he rebuked them subtly, but he's crying to his Allah, Ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah, complaining, my grief, everything, my shikayat, my shikwa is from Allah. And he says, Wa a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun. Oh my sons, I know my Allah's kindness. I know my Allah's mercy. I know my Allah will answer me. I know things of my Allah that you do not have knowledge of. He was a Nabi of Allah. He says, يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقُومُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He says, oh my children, go search for Yusuf and his brother. Go look for him. Go back there. And he says, do not lose hope. Do not become mayus of رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, the rahmat of Allah. Do not become despondent. Why? This is the quality of the disbeliever. This believer will ask, will do something, and then he'll lose hope. Because he has got no mawla. وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. Kafir does not have any mawla. He's got no one to turn to. Mu'mineen have an Allah to turn to. We've got somebody to make sajda to. We've got a begging bowl to raise before Allah. We've got somebody to bend before and bow down before. We've got somebody who knows the innermost feelings of our heart. Somebody who we can relate to. Somebody who without even expressing our entire problem, he knows the beginning, the middle, the end of our problem. He knows the solution of the problem. He's got the solution of the problem. All Allah wants us to shed those tears. All Allah wants us to turn to Him. All Allah wants us to go on to our knees. All Allah wants that we must cry and beg and realize He is the only Mawla. And that is the Ma'iyyat of Allah. That is Ta'alluq Ma'Allah. That is the Hub of Allah. That is the ma'rifat of Allah, Mashayikh, day and night they talk about. Connect yourself with Allah. We normally go to every other avenue. And lastly, then we see nothing happening. Now we turn to Allah. We should change the system. First cry to Allah. Complain to Allah. Beg from Allah. It is only Allah. Only, in zikrullah, what do we do? We say, La ilaha illallah. What are we saying? We are negating ghairullah. And only putting Allah in our heart. So he says, do not lose hope. It is only the disbelievers who lose hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's mercy. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ مَسَّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا الضُّرُّ. They go back to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They're embarrassed because of what they understand, that Binyamin stole the goblet. And now, as I mentioned previously, they would come with some goods from Egypt. In exchange of that goods, they would barter and they would get some ration, some food. But this time they see we've got no good or good quality or superior quality of goods to offer you in exchange of food. We are desperate. Dhur, harm, famine, drought, suffering, book, hunger has afflicted us. All we've got is inferior quality of goods that we have brought. It normally would never be accepted as an offer. It's rejected. وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ فَأَوْفِرَنَا الْكَيْلِ. Oh king, oh Amir, you are so kind. تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا. Be generous to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ. Allah most certainly, Allah rewards those who are generous. Be kind to us. فَأَوْفِرَنَا الْكَيْلِ. We need that one extra ration of food. Give it to us. Now this is the limit. Yusuf alayhi salam had sabr. Now he's reached the point where Allah does not want him to make extra sabr now. Now he's a human being. He's a Nabi, of course, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's passed the test now. Yaqub alayhi salam on the other side,
has passed the test. I mentioned, why did Allah Ta'ala make them go through so many years of suffering and separation and grief and sorrow? Allah wanted to make the takmeel, the completion of Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam's sabr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had that sabr, but the takmeel, a little bit left, was left, and now he fulfilled that. So here, Yusuf alayhi salam then addresses his brothers. قَالَ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ لِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِي إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. Remember my brothers, when you were ignorant, you had no knowledge, and the deed you did was of jahalat. You did not ponder and reflect over the consequences. Remember what you did to Yusuf? He didn't just leave it there. And his brother, what did they do to Ibn Yamin? They didn't do anything much. Why is he bringing Ibn Yamin? Because he does not want them to feel so guilty. He just reminds him of his own crime. What did you do to me, Yusuf, to Yusuf and his brother? Now they look at Ibn Yamin, they look at Yusuf. And now they realize, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Are you Yusuf? Are you Yusuf, our brother? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam now breaks down. Istirham, he has the rahmat for them. And he's probably shedding those tears. And he's crying. قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Yes, I am Yusuf. This is my real brother Binyamin. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has been kind to us. Allah has bestowed His favors upon us. We went through all the difficulties. Allah has given us that khalas, that chutkara. Allah has removed us from the difficulty. Allah has found that avenue for us and that opening for us. And Allah has now reunited us as the ijtima after the furqat, after the separation. Now we are joined again. And Allah has given us honor and dignity after I was thrown down into that well, after I was thrown into the prison. Allah has made me the minister of finance. Well, I'm the king now. And Allah has brought all of you again in front of me. And then he says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this I would, my opinion, or this is what I feel, that this is the, in essence, the lesson of the whole Surah Yusuf, just in these two, three words. And this is the lesson Allah gives us. These two qualities we need to have in our life. If we want to be muhsineen, doers of good, we want the maqam of ihsan, where we see, where we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, as though you are seeing Him. And if you can't feel that, remember He is seeing you. That in other words, Allah consciousness all the time, not only in salat, every second of your life, that Allah is watching me. Therefore, I should not become ghafil of my Allah. Because my Allah never becomes ghafil of me. Allah is basir. Allah is watching me all the time. So if you want that maqam of ihsan, and if you want to be good doers, may yattaqi wa yasbir. Taqwa and sabr. These are the two qualities which you see throughout Surah Yusuf. Taqwa, 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 and sabr upon sabr upon sabr. If that person who, he didn't say, I had taqwa and I made sabr, Allah will, it's innahu may yattaqi. This is his humility. He said, whosoever, not only myself, not only my father, any person, Allah is addressing this ummah also, whoever has taqwa, we mentioned many times, and we've heard so many times, our Hazrat Shaykh Hazrat Arif Billah Zakir Mukhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh Allah Gim Jazai Khair, repeatedly, what is taqwa, positive, negative, we've heard many times, that we do those things Allah has commanded us, and also we refrain from those things which Allah has made haram for us. We refrain from those things. In this story, what is the taqwa? The brothers had to refrain from being jealous. And we spoke in length about jealousy. How it corrodes our a'mal, our good deeds. Look at the consequence of jealousy. It actually made them take their brother and throw him the well, hoping to get rid of him forever. But that taqwa will stop a person from behaving that way. Why he'll fear Allah? Allah is watching me. I should not deal in this way. I should not cheat my customer. I should not be harsh and brutal to my family members. I should not just be disobedient to my parents. I should not abuse my children. I should not abuse the rights of my neighbor, rights of my fellow Muslims, etc. He's got taqwa. Then there'll be difficulties, there'll be tests, there'll be hardships. The person has to sabr. And the three kinds of sabr we discussed, Then one is sabr anil ma'asiyah. We refrain from that sin. Zulaykha and Yusuf alayhi salam's story, we discussed in the beginning when she was chasing him. And then what did he do? He had the sabr. He refrained from falling into her enticement and seducement. And he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had taqwa and he made the sabr. So Allah will not destroy. What did Allah give him? Allah then made him the minister. So whoever has taqwa, whoever has sabr, Allah will not destroy his good deeds. Immediately they say, قَالُوا تَاللَّهُ Allah's qasam, لَقَدْ أَثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا Allah has given you preference over us. Allah has given you honor and dignity. وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِينَ We were going to err. We were sinners. We were foolish people. We didn't realize. We were wrongdoers. Allah gave you preference. Allah honored you. And now again the other important lesson. As I said, this is the climax now of the surah, the climax. Fatih Makkah, the same thing happened. Climax of the life of Rasulullah SAW. He's driven out of Makkah. So many years go by in Medina, so many wars took place. He comes back into the Makkah, into Makkah. Now he is the king of Makkah. Makkah is at his feet now. He can do what he wishes. Rasulullah SAW then reminded the people of what Yusuf alayhi salam did to his brothers. He did not punish them. He could have put them into prison immediately. He could have given them a lengthy bayan. And he could have reminded them and made them cry and made them feel guilty. Oh my brothers, what you did to me, you took me and etc. What did he say? قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَأَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِ May Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive you. There will be no revenge upon you today. لَا تَثْرِيبَ There will be no rebuke. I will not reprimand you. I will not hit you. I will not punish you. I will not take revenge today. Same thing Rasulullah told the people of Makkah. I will not take revenge. Now this, after all the hardships, and to be able to have such a wide chest, this is the real quality of a Nabi of Allah and Wali of Allah. Therefore, in the ayat, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. When Allah says, when somebody does bad to you, you must repel that evil with something good and better. Hiya ahsan, better than what he did to you. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, he says, as-sabru 'inda al-ghadab. The tafsir of this ayat is, what do you mean by giving better? That man hurt you, he smacked you, he slapped you, he kicked you. How am I saying, repay him in a better way? Rasulullah says, as-sabru 'inda al-ghadab. When you are angered, he's making you angry, he's hurting you, he's insulting you, he's swearing you, swearing your parents, you make sabr at that time. وَالْعَفُ عِنْدَ الْإِسَاءِ And you forgive the person he has harmed you, you forgive him. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمَهُمُ اللَّهِ When the people will do this, then no matter what they do, they are jealous. And they are taunting you, they are trying every way of causing harm to you. They are conspiring, the brothers of Yusuf. They conspire against him. They cannot stomach your position. You have been given a position today. They cannot see your property, your wealth, your prosperity. You are serving the people. They cannot see, they cannot stomach it. It is pain, it is burning them. So now they will conspire. They will pass rumors regarding you. After all that, Rasul says, فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَٰلِكَ You forgave them. عَسَمَهُمُ اللَّهِ Allah will protect such people. And then, وَخَضَعَ لَهُمْ عَدُوهُمْ Those same people who conspired against you, Allah says, I will bring them. اور ان کے سامنے جھک جائیں گے. They will come and they will bow down. In other words, not literally. But then they will give up and say, please, you are right, I am wrong. They will be humiliated. Exact thing happened here. His brothers are humiliated. Oh, Yusuf. You are the boss now. You are the king. We, وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ But Yusuf alayhi salam shows us this tolerance which Rasulullah had, all the Anbiya alayhi salam had, the walis of Allah have, قَالَ لَا تَثِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ May Allah forgive you, وَهُوَ رَحْمُ الرَّحِمِينَ But then he asks about his father. How's my father? And they say he's gone blind. So when he hears that my father is gone blind, he says, اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا Take my shirt, this shirt of mine. And I mentioned the shirts, the legendary shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the wolf story. Then Zulaykha chasing him and he's being torn from the front.
from the back, sorry. And then here, again, he takes his shirt. He says, take this kurta, the shirt of mine. فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ أَبِي. Throw it onto the face of my father. يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا. His sight will be restored to him. He'll be able to see again. Now this is a mu'jiza. Father also a Nabi. Son is also a Nabi of Allah. And Allah had inspired him to do so. وَأْتُونِ بِأَهْلِكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He said, now bring my entire family. Bring my father, bring my mother. Mufassirin say his real mother had passed away. So Yaqub alayhi salam had married his khala, khala of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. His mother's sister was just like his mother. So he said, bring all of them. And whoever else was the family, uncles, aunts and cousins, whoever was, they bring the entire family, bring all of them. وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرِ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. He says, when this camel, this caravan had left now Egypt, going back to Palestine, Yaqub alayhi salatu salam from a distance, what did he say? Inni la ajidu riha Yusuf. I can smell the fragrance, the khushbu of my Yusuf. Years had gone past. When Mufassirin say they were still, a couple of nights still they had to travel to reach Palestine or Sham. He says, Lawla antufannidun, had it not been for the fact that you think again I'm behaving insane or senile, I'm gone off my head, then I would have definitely told you now that my Yusuf is alive. But I'm not telling you this because you might think I'm gone insane. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. They say again, the same old stories. Again, the same thing. Yusuf is gone. What are you talking about, Yusuf? فَلَمَّا أَنْجَأَ الْبَشِيرِ. When this giver of glad tidings came, some say it was the eldest son, and he says, just like how I caused my father grief, I would like to cause him farah and happiness today. So this is now thrown over Yaqub alayhi salatu salam. فَرْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. Allah gave him sight again. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Immediately, oh my family, did I not tell you that I know regarding my Allah? The kindness of my Allah, He never lets me down. I knew this of my Allah which you did not know. Immediately the sons, they come running to their father. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِئِينَ. We were gunegar, we made a mistake. We committed the heinous crime. Ask Allah for forgiveness on our behalf. قَالَ سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. Soon, not now, soon I will do it. Mufassirin say, why he didn't make immediately? He waited for the time of sahri or tahajjud, because that's the time when Allah would readily accept the du'as. So he just waited for a little while for that particular time, and then he made dua and istighfar for them. سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ وَالْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. Inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah, just 5 minutes left for adhan, make wudu, etc. Where Yusuf alayhi salam's entire family, Yaqub alayhi salatu salam, his wife, and all his 10 sons, or 11 of them now, they go to Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, and they enter Egypt, and we see how Yusuf alayhi salatu salam then deals with them, and the honor and dignity, and the hospitality, generosity, how he, what he offers to his parents, how Allah reunites them. And after that, Surah Yusuf ends off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal al-akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In our own, we'll get chance, and many, many people who requested for du'as, people are going for different operations. People are very, very seriously sick in hospitals at home, and very many illnesses. And of course, we forget the names of every person, but we should make du'a for each one of them who are sick in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After adhan, till Iqama, du'as are not rejected, they are accepted. If we finish our wudu and we inside the masjid, we read our sunnah, whatever nafil we are reading, engage in zikr or tilawat, we can make du'a also, because du'a is not rejected, they are not mardood. Ask Allah for afiyat, ask du'a for ourselves, for the family, for ummat, du'as are accepted. May Allah give us tawfiq.